Good morning. It is Thursday, April 25th at 10:52. I'm Boiler Dowd, in case we've never met. My content has been less consistent since the end of basketball season. Don't fret. There's some good stuff coming here. The problem I have is I'm not a very good guesser. I'm going to talk a little bit about that, but I am going to also tell you about there's some secrets brewing in West Lafayette and a lot of the world outside of the Purdue football faithful, the Purdue family, just don't know it and simply don't recognize it. Before I get too deep into it, I want to thank our sponsors. They're not paying us now. Okay. So like when our off season, when we drop off in April, we don't have an agreement to have them help us pay for our web dues and stuff like that. But I still want to mention my friends at AJ's. The people that had this shirt, the sweatshirt printed, they're not the guys who print the sweatshirt. But my pals, Adam and Jake, head over to AJ's, head towards the fire station when you're in God's country, and then go see them because you're going to have great service, you're going to have great food. Can't get any better than that. Burgers, beef, and beer, it's AJ's. And also, Home Field Apparel, if you're in the need for a wardrobe refresher. Go to Home Field Apparel, enter BOILED23 at checkout, get 15% off. I'm not so sure how long that code will last, but just wanted to put it out there just because we appreciate both these good people at AJ's and Home Field Apparel. So the thing that got my attention, the reason I wanted to post today was actually not good news, but it started me off just like kind of digging a little bit at some of my thoughts on the spring game. And I think I touched on these during a basketball post game or something. I don't remember, but I didn't get too deep into it because I think spring game formats are kind of tough to read, meaning you're seeing not the full lineup of a team. You're seeing an unusual format. Purdue didn't play full contact like some teams do. But we saw a lot of good stuff there. But we didn't see the whole thing. And I'll tell you why I think the biggest reason we didn't see the full version of what Purdue can be and will be is because the defense was so limited in the rules of how they could hit. Between the tackles they could hit outside, it was kind of thud speed or tackle touch, whatever you want to call it. That's going to be tough because I think this defense, Coach Walters wants to make a very physical defense with a presence that's understandably a bit nasty. And so doing things at the speed they were doing for spring game, that doesn't really work per se for a defense like Coach Walters' defense. So what's the secret at Purdue? Well, here's the secret. If you've been reading up on what people outside of Purdue think of this Purdue football team, it's laughably bad. Purdue's picked below IU in the new look, gigantic Big 10, Big 18. I think it's 18. A lot of teams there, a lot of good teams there. There's no doubt about it. Big 10 remains one of the best football conferences. Nothing changes there, but just the sheer amount of teams makes people somehow believe Purdue's going to forget everything they've learned in the past couple of years. And the Purdue players that are on the roster are going to forget who they are during this offseason. Purdue's coming off a 4-8 season, not very good. I was critical for much of the season of Graham Harrell's offense because I thought it lacked ingenuity and innovativeness. If you listen to what Harrell was saying in the spring, one thing he loves out of his offense is the fact that Hudson Card has such a grasp on what's happening around him. Now, one thing we loved to see last year was how Hudson Card extended plays with his legs. He was so good with keeping his eyes downfield. And sometimes I thought the play calling hampered him. And I don't know if he was coached up to stay away from contact or what the deal was on that. We never had clarification on that. But it felt like that at times. I think Purdue was very cognizant of the fact that there was a major drop-off from the one to the two in quarterback position. Maybe one of the biggest drop-offs on the entire roster and obviously the most important position on the roster. So was something beaten into his head about not trying to extend plays? I don't know. Was it a combination of a guy in his first year as a system not being fully comfortable? I don't know. We saw, though, at the end of the year, he looked pretty good down the stretch. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal. And for me, the fact that Hudson Card is who he is with a decent resume in front of him of playing in big games, making big plays, and just having all the tools. Jay talks about this all the time. Jay loves the fact that Hudson Card can do so many things well, and the fact that he's got a decent head on his shoulders that's a combination of believing he can make a lot of throws and at the same time somewhat level-headed in that he doesn't try to make every play with his arm because he has good legs under him. This is an unusual combination of talent that we haven't seen a lot of at Purdue, and with yet another year, another offseason with this system, I think we'll see a jump in Hudson Card's play. So that's part of the reason that I look at, if we're going to be optimistic, let's look at the lineup. Let's just look at the core that's returning, okay? The bad news, that's what I wanted to talk about, the thing that got my attention is Clyde Washington entered the portal. You probably saw this because you're a Purdue diehard and you're looking for things to read about and talk about and whatever. And that's bad. That's a bad thing for multiple reasons, but one of the big ones, he was projected as a starter. That hurts, but I don't think it hurts as bad as we think it does, and I think there may be a reason. He may have heard some whispers around that there's some dudes around him that are coming for his job. Whether or not they were going to get it, who knows, but this defense specifically, the additions from the portal that Walters went and got really should have the attention of Purdue fans and really should have the attention, honestly, of the college football world, but it hasn't gotten that. Not in a positive way at all. Athlon Sports has Purdue winning 3 games. Yahoo Sports has Purdue winning no Big Ten games. And that would probably mean they're going to win, what? They're going to go 1-11, according to Yahoo Sports. They didn't project the preseason, but if you think Purdue's not going to win a conference game, and obviously the conference games are difficult this year. The schedule is difficult. But if you believe they're not going to win any conference games, then you'd probably say the only game they're going to win is Indiana State. That's a historically bad season for Purdue. That's dealing with some dark times. Daryl Hazel had, a season like that where they beat just Indiana State, I believe, if my memory is serving me correctly. You go back to another dark era when I was on campus. Purdue had a very, very bad season, I think, back in, 1993, if I'm remembering correctly. But they were predicted to be, I think they were called the second worst team in Division I that year, if I'm remembering correctly. And that the problem with that team, if you go way back then, was they had no quarterback play at all. My big thing that I would hang my confidence on is it starts with the quarterback. And it's not this year. It's not just Hudson Card. And that's part of the reason I'm really happy. There's some depth behind Card that you can say in spring, you could see there's some guys that are right there that can play the game, and they play it like Card in that they can extend plays with their legs and then they can throw it. So there's a type of quarterback that Graham Harrell and Ryan Walters want, and they're getting that guy. And so that's good to see. Will there be a drop off from 1 to 2, just like there was last year? Absolutely. But Hudson Card is something to build around. On top of that, you've got Max Clair coming back and healthy. Max Clair is going to be fun to watch. He's an athletic tight end that can do a lot of things, almost a hybrid. He's almost a wide receiver in his athletic skills, his ability to get out in the open field and make some moves and move. He may not be the best blocker, but they've got some tight ends in the quiver that can do it. After that, of course, Devin Mockbee is back for his 3rd year as a starter. That's a big deal. And then behind him, you've got Love, who is a transfer from Illinois. Reggie Love is a guy that, if you didn't know it, you look at him, you're like, okay, that's a Big Ten starter. There's no doubt. He looks the part, number one. Number two, he has played a ton of Big Ten football. The big thing that's plagued him is injury. And so with him not being the number one option, perhaps this will be the magic formula to get some real mileage out of him and maybe have 2 running backs flirt with 800 to 1,000 yards. That'd be pretty magical on top of Hudson Card getting some yardage with his feet. Then the reason that you should be excited about that offensive backfield, in my opinion, is you've got an offensive line core that is extremely experienced, extremely good, and on paper, they are absolutely what you want Big Ten prototypical interior linemen to look like. The 3 guys that I'm most excited about on the offensive line is Musa, Hartwig, and Bo. Those 3 guys are great guys to build around, but on top of that, you got a lot of transfers coming in that are making noise and are on the depth chart. There's a couple of really, really interesting stories. I'm going to talk about that in a second, of guys you're like, okay, keep your eye on this guy because he could become something special. But one big difference is Purdue's offensive line is now averaging 6'4" and 305 pounds. That's a major difference from what we saw last year. And that offensive line last year was kind of patchwork together of guys that hadn't played at this level and just weren't ready yet. I think you should be excited about the offensive line. I think that's one big thing. If I was looking for a question mark coming into this season, the offensive line was one of the biggest ones. And Walters and company did a really good job in the portal building around that core. On the defensive side, of course, you look at the guys that are coming back. There's a guy named Thieneman, who you may have heard about, All-American, and he can do everything. So last year, it flummoxed many of us why he was set so deep. We got used to it as the season went on. He's so rangy, but you also saw versus IU specifically, the end of the season, they were mixing that look up a little bit more, dropping a second safety and putting him in a position where he could come up and make even more plays at the line of scrimmage instead of always being the guy who has to be on a bit of a back pedal and then coming up at a dead sprint, trying to knock a guy out of bounds if the play went outside. Thieneman, though, is a guy that I think every team in the Big Ten would love to have. I don't think that's any exaggeration. Top of him, Kedron Jenkins is back. I think we all were worried about Jenkins being a one-man show, but he moves positions. He moves a half step back. He'll come out of the linebacker position a little bit, come up to the line. He'll also play D end a little bit. And then Karloftis. In the spring game, he was active. He was one of the guys that I noticed over and over and over. I think Karloftis is starting to become the player that many people thought he could out of high school after years of hamstring injury that really hamstrung him. And finally, Cole Brevard, the former Penn State player who transferred a couple years ago, made plays and made noise as the season went on. I'm real pleased with what I see from Cole Brevard, and I really think that he could be a big impact player. Well, here's the thing. When you look at that core right there, you're like, okay, you're keeping your fingers crossed. Obviously, now Clyde Washington isn't going to be there, and that would have been a guy that I would focus on being a reason to be excited when you look at the core on each side of the ball. There's 5 days left where guys can enter the transfer portal and anything can happen. As we saw with Nick Scorton, anything can happen. Tampering is a real thing. All this stuff sucks. And the NIL and the NIL plus portal plus tampering plus talking to agents creates an ugly, nasty stew of factors that really hurt a lot of teams. But I think we're almost out of the woods, obviously, with just 5 days left. And hopefully, Purdue can hold everything together for a little bit longer. The portal giveth, the portal taketh away. We understand that. And I'm going to talk to you about why maybe the portal is Purdue's friend right now. One of the biggest things, you look at some of the guys that you heard about coming on before spring game, the four Georgia players, Smith, Morissette, Green, and Madden were guys that everybody wanted to see. Were they ready? Why did they transfer from Georgia when seemingly you're leaving so much better at a situation? Specifically, I believe, if I'm reading up correctly, almost all these guys had played a role at some level for Georgia in spite of being playing for one of the best programs, if not the best program in America. You saw a little bit of why Purdue is excited about C.J. Smith, the wide receiver. He's fast as hell. He can get to the third level pretty easily. He can accelerate. He's a smaller receiver, a bit of a water bug. But I think there's reason to believe C.J. Smith's going to be really, really good, really productive right out of the chute from Georgia. He was limited in the spring game, in case I didn't realize this. I didn't watch all the interviews afterwards, but he was limited to just a half. And he made impact right away, but then it kind of fell off. On top of Smith, you've got a lot of guys around him that are going to be good. One guy, of course, we've been waiting on for a while is Edrin Jamal. He's a transfer. Last year, he came off injury, didn't get to play. But I think he's a really big impact guy. And, of course, Dixon Veal, who in spring game, he made a ton of noise. And he's a guy that the whole game, he was there and he was a thorn in the side of the defense. He's extremely fast once he gets that, again, second, third level. He's trouble. He's not the biggest guy, just like Smith, but there's going to be a lot of excitement about those two guys specifically because of the shiftiness. We've seen shifty receivers. We know a little bit about that. And those two are going to, I believe, make a lot of noise in the fall. In case you didn't know that, because Dixon Veal also is a transfer. This is his second year on campus. He's a JUCO guy, and he is pretty experienced. I think he's a fifth-year guy. That's one thing. It's so weird. Even if you're somebody like me who has a hobby that takes all your time, it's so hard to keep up on roster moves and know exactly who everybody is, what they're about, how long they've been there, that sort of thing. In fact, we have a couple examples of Purdue players entering the portal, and they were just sophomores. They were guys that were relatively highly touted, you know, high three stars maybe, and they're gone now. And it hurts because you're like, we didn't get to see this guy develop. And this is the hard thing about college football and basketball right now, is if you're trying to relate and try to watch these guys grow up, trying to get used to, you know, say, okay, where will he be? Where are they going to fall in the depth chart? Where's the possibility of someone coming up? It's really, really difficult to understand that. And I'm well aware of it. And I used to say, don't fall in love with these guys until they're signed. Well, now it's even a different level of things of, not being able to care a ton about recruiting, because even after a guy's recruited, maybe they come on campus and they transfer as quickly as they got there. So it's a very understandable thing for people like you and I to say, you know, I'm not going to get too excited until I start seeing the real two deeps in August. I get that. I'm going to try to do my part, do what I can just to talk about guys that you might not know in the off season, this spring, summer leading up to camp. We'll see if I can stick with it. It's going to be a little bit difficult, but regardless, when the real time comes and we're actually following it with our own eyes, I'll have a lot of things to say in the fall, but I'm going to try to do my best in the summer here, talking about people you might not know. Let's see. A couple more points. Like I said, the offensive line and the wide receiver core were my two biggest concerns coming into this season. Both of them were addressed by the coaching staff. That is a big positive in my mind. That's a huge thing. If I were going to describe the offensive line, I'd say they're bigger, better, and deeper. If I were going to describe the wide receivers, I'd call them faster, deeper. There's a couple guys that I've been excited about for a while. One of them, of course, is Tibbs out of Indianapolis Cathedral. I've been talking about him since last year. I saw some glimpses of what he can be. He's a great athlete. He's a guy who could probably play on Purdue's roster in basketball as well. Incredible athlete, but really heady kid. Seems like a good addition to a core, and he could be a really, really good possession receiver. Good route runner, but he showed a little bit out during the spring game, so we got to see a little glimpse of that. So let's look ahead. Let's look even further. Let's dig a little deeper into the roster about the guys that maybe you say, okay, I'm excited about them, and I think these people could make a big difference right away. So who are some of them? Of course, Jeffrey Mabau. I don't know how to pronounce that name. I'm not positive, but he's out of Auburn. He was first a JUCO player, Independence College, I believe. He's number zero. He played in the spring game. You saw him. He's a guy that should get your attention because of his size. He's got long arms, good, a great build to get rid of a big offensive tackle who's trying to lock him up. He's a guy that I thought he'd be good, and then I see him play, and I'm impressed. Another one that really got my attention, of course, is Jaira Ajada, number 99, if you're watching the spring game. Another big, imposing defensive lineman. I think he's kind of a combo tackle end based on what I'm seeing, but he's lighter, very athletic, and he comes from Franklin College. This is the weird thing. This transfer class is really noteworthy. You've got guys coming from SEC schools, and you got guys coming from Franklin College. Last year, you had more of the small college transfers that Purdue had to lean on heavily. And this is part of the reason I think as a Purdue fan, you should be a little bit more excited than last year, because they're getting guys from SEC schools and other Big Ten schools. And right away, they should be ready to play. The question is, do they understand the system right away? I think the system, it's funny, it looks somewhat simple because of pre-snap, Purdue doesn't do a lot to change things up. But then post-snap, Purdue does a lot of things that you don't know are coming from the offensive mindset. And so Walters and Kane, they really want guys that have a firm grasp on the defense before they even see the field. Will some of these guys be ready? That's a tall order, and you don't know that. And because of that, this is the whole thing about being a developmental program and why the portal era is so tough for a team like Purdue, is by the time you think you got a guy developed, he may jump. He may leave. Sorry about my reflection. I can see off the, I know why it is, outside my window. But anyway, let's keep going with this. Cam Brown is a receiver out of UCLA that I think Purdue fans might see make some noise. I don't think he's cracked the two or three deeps yet, but he's a player that I have my eye on. Like I said, Reggie Love, CJ Madden from Georgia is a big one. He played 7 games last year for Georgia. Josh Sales from IU, offensive lineman, very, very good size, 6'6", 305 pounds right out of the gate. And it's always good to see an IU guy coming over to the good side. And I think it's an amazing thing, just a sidebar here, that IU is getting more respect from media types than Purdue is right now. I don't understand it. I know there's some reason for IU fans to be a little excited because the changing of the guard is a good thing, especially when you've been stuck in neutral for a couple of years. That said, boy, that reflection is crazy. Look at that. Sorry about that. There's a car outside my window at my house that is sitting, and the sun is reflecting like right off of there, and so I'm getting mad shadow. So I apologize. Anyway, I'll work on that this summer, or I'll tell my neighbor. I'll throw a rock through his window. That's a better idea, so he doesn't park there again. It's a perfect angle for this, though. Perfect angle to get that sort of thing. So I apologize to those of you who are watching. Shita Silla is a guy that I think Purdue fans should be really excited about. He's in his 6th year, another COVID extension of a career guy. He'll be ready right away physically. He's played a ton of football at Boston College, and I think he's one of the guys that'll hold this class together. Hopefully he gets the defense right away, and it's understandable for him. A really good story is Joey Tonona, yeah, from Notre Dame, who started his career, got injured, quit football, and now he's coming to Purdue. He's a little undersized right now, just weight-wise. Great size, but not filled out yet because he had a year off completely from football. But he's already cracked the depth chart for Purdue. I think he was a high 4-star out of high school, and I think he's listed as a sophomore for the fall. But he's a guy that has tremendous upside. And the fact that Notre Dame went after him and he was on the roster and then he had this unusual circuitous route to Purdue, Notre Dame knows offensive line talent. So that's a person that should have everybody's attention. That's about all I've got. Actually, one more guy. Of course, Will Helt, who plays linebacker. He's out of Carmel. He had the most noteworthy play during the spring game this year, the pick 6. Extremely good athlete. Can get out in the field and run for a person of his size. Good height. Again, Walters is going after guys that are not only big, but also have extremely long arms. And with that, you get guys that can make plays in space. They can get their hands, their mitts on a offensive player and grab his jersey even when they're not in perfect position. And they can bust up plays in the middle. He was in a backpedal, I think, on that pick 6. It was a poor pass, but he turned on the Jets really quickly. And if you were watching it like I was on TV, I was having a horrible back day. I told you guys that. It was pretty amazing to see him move the way he did for a guy in that position. That's about all I've got right now. There's not a ton of you tuned in live, mostly because I'm talking about a subject that we're just getting warmed up to and we're way out. But the people that are here, boy, oh boy, you guys are the best. So Eric Coburn is first. He says, boiler up from Mishawaka. Glad you're here. Jeff says, I love seeing articles about how great Skorton and Burks are doing this spring. Are you serious about loving that? Yeah. Ben Cotton says, Purdue football has a secret. Boiler Dowd is starting at defensive tackle. Yeah, and I've been bulking up to get ready, Ben. That's really the whole thing is I'm on a weight gainer program. It's taken me a couple of years, but I'm almost up to 300 pounds, which is awesome for a 5'4 guy. That's tongue in cheek. But anyway, yeah, me at defensive tackle is a good fit. I mean, tremendous athleticism at defensive tackle. Jeff says automatic chop block. Zachary Young says Vegas has the over under at 4.5. I like the over. I do too. Indiana State, Oregon State gets you 2. Oregon State's, they're because the program's in flux, that's a whose program isn't in flux right now, but Oregon State, though, you might be able to get them when last year that looked like a mother of a game. Having to go out there is no joke, but still. If you can get two early, if you leave the preseason at 2-1, that's a pretty good jump on the season, and they can find more wins. I'm confident of it. Toss ups: Illinois, Minnesota, MSU, Northwestern, Nebraska. 6-win seems reasonable. I agree. I think Nebraska, much to Jay's chagrin, is going to be pretty good. They started showing a little bit last year. Gosh darn it! There we go. I got to stay out of that sun. But I think Nebraska is going to be pretty good and pretty tough out for a lot of the Big Ten. I'm thinking they're going to be an 8-win team. Ed Albanese, the gummy bear king of Purdue fandom, says, hey, yo, how y'all doing? Feeling good. Excited about a lot of things. And I'm excited about basketball again. This is a weird thing. Like, I can't get off that excitement. I've been trying to shift my gaze a bit and look at football. The hard thing with football is, like I said, I feel like I'm guessing so much. I don't like to do that. I don't like to, you know, say this is my prediction based on this. I guess the next thing I need to do is go watch film, and I might spend some time doing that, watching film of some of the guys that Purdue got out of the portal and some of the guys that are freshmen. The hard thing, obviously, freshmen are generally not going to make a ton of impact right away. So you're looking at guys out of the portal really, you know, eating up a lot of the time. And Purdue's lineup, I'm telling you, if you take 10, 15 minutes and look at what they've got, I think the media is very, very much sleeping on Purdue, and I love it. But I haven't seen it this low in a long time, where that many people just have no respect for Coach Walters and Purdue's football team. And I'm not saying I haven't seen it this low for just Coach Walters. I mean Purdue football. You go back to the Daryl Hazel years, of course, where especially in that second, third season, people started seeing for what it was. Purdue was having a hard time from a personnel standpoint. The roster wasn't constructed well. We already knew that they were struggling, and the media didn't like it. And then you go back again, you got to go back to Coletto, where it was this dark. I love it. I think players, every little bit of chip you can build on their shoulder is nothing but positive things there from a standpoint of Ryan Walters and the bulletin board material he can put up as these guys are working out this summer. I think it's a great, great thing. Great position to be in. Greg McManus says it's Cignetti hype. Media loves him. Yeah. They can love him all they want. And I know he was good at his previous stop. The problem that I have with it is right away, he kind of acted the fool, right? And I think he's a good coach. I just don't know why you'd put him in front of Walters and what Purdue did last year. I don't know why you'd do that. I don't think IU's roster gives you that much a reason to be excited. I think Purdue's roster has depth. I think Purdue has guys returning the right positions. And Purdue was close on a couple of those losses that would have put them right there in making a bowl game. If you get to 6 wins last year, which it's not outlandish to think they could have. Maybe the media would think different things. But Purdue is returning a lot of the guys that they need to return. I am bullish on this Purdue team. And I feel a lot better than I did a year ago just because there were so many variables. Now I feel like we're starting to see Walters craft a roster as he wants to see it. There's some things that are interesting about this roster. Our pals Adam and Jake gotten to know the team a lot, like personally, a lot of big personalities on this team. So this is something Walters wants. He wants guys that are when they enter the room, they are confident enough to let you know they're entering the room. I don't think that's a bad thing for a football team, of course. But there's some personality here that we're starting to see. This is what Walters wants versus the way Jeff Brohm built a roster. Ed Albanese says he's a Duke fan now because of Mason Gillis, and I can't join you there, Ed, regardless of Mace being on the Duke roster. I didn't talk about that. It pains me to see him going to play in Duke blue. I will not root for Duke. I will root for Mace to play well and to play up to his level that we know he can. I think the funny thing, there's so many Duke fans that are bad-mouthing the Mason Gillis signing, and that's part of the reason I just say he's not, they don't deserve him. We know who he is. I have no issue with Gillis going and continuing his career in college instead of going straight to the pros, because, you know, he's got a lot of variables. Obviously, he's a tweener for the NBA, so he wasn't going to get much of a look there. And so do you want to move to Europe right away? I don't know. And then the guy leaves Purdue with 2 degrees, from what I understand. He already had, maybe he was working toward his MBA, but he was very close. I think he has his MBA already. I'm almost positive I've read that. Yes, he's got his MBA. He's got his MBA already. So he's got an undergrad and an MBA. Remember, there was he had been on campus for 5 years. And any guy that's been on campus for 4 or 5 years, has a degree, and wants to go play for another team, I get it, and I wish him well. It's just tough medicine to swallow. Seeing him to go to Duke is I'm not going to say worst-case scenario. There are many worst-case scenarios. If he would have gone to Illinois, that would have been really, really, really impossible for me to find a silver lining there, other than I hope the guy made some money in the process. Such a weird era. I'm still not used to any of it, but I this was part of the plan. Purdue basketball, meaning the Chris Foreman and the information, told this story months ago. We all knew that Edie, Morton, and Gillis were all gone at the end of the season, and then we're going to see what happens next for them. But we can root for them and not root for Duke. That's what I'd say, Ed. Greg Manis says 5'4", 300 pounds. That's a bowling ball fullback. Yeah. So that's, I think I'm being underutilized at just defensive tackle. I think fullback would probably be the best place. I have pretty quick feet still. I mean, I was a 100 yard sprinter in high school. I was on the 4x1 city championship team in Indianapolis. And if you know anything about Indianapolis track and field, you know that is really not anything to brag about, but still, I'm telling you. But I was the lead leg because of my short legs getting around the turn. You know, I get up to speed relatively quickly. But I think they're underutilizing me just on one side of the ball. I'm kind of like a Deion Sanders or Bo Jackson type, where I could be utilized on both sides, and really coaches need to see that. And I've got plenty of eligibility left. According to COVID, I think I could play for another 10 to 15 years in college. Peter Jorgensen, I think I said that right, says, seeing how Notre Dame lost 2 road games at night last year, I would hope we schedule that game for an 8 p.m. kick. Yep, same. Also, shouldn't we want to play the Oregon game at noon? Yeah, because of the time change, I would think so. I don't think the kickoffs are set for like anything yet. I haven't seen them yet. Trying to switch gears and get into full football mode. I'm not there yet. Notre Dame games at night are electric in Rossay. They're super fun. And I'm hoping for that for multiple reasons. It'll be a blackout. We'll get to see the new uniforms are coming, which is something that I think the fans will enjoy seeing. A lot of Purdue fans didn't love these uniforms. I loved this last uniform when they didn't get too cute. I hated the different color shoulder and body, if we're going to get into design stuff. I did not like the anthracite with the, I guess it would be anthracite shoulder with the light gray jersey. Didn't like that. Hated the piss gold with the charcoal or black shoulder. I think it was black. Our pal Dylan just bought one of those jerseys, official game worn for his area around his podcast booth. I hated those uniforms though. But I liked it when they were solid gold or not solid gold. I did not like that. I liked it when they were black and they were white. Obviously the astronaut uniforms are second best uniform Purdue football's ever had. Maybe top three at worst, if I really thought about it. I would love to see a version of that come back if we're looking at something Purdue football could have used. But I'm sure Coach Walters has it all geared up. We'll see what happens. It's kind of silly anyway. Football uniform talk is silly, and it feels like it's jumped the shark because everybody has 7,000 uniforms, and I don't even know if the players care anymore. But we'll see. We'll see what they come out with. Greg Manis says, IU, Illinois, or MSU would have been torture, or Northwestern. Yes. Any of those scenarios for Mason Gillis would have been horrible. Those are all good points. IU, Illinois, Michigan State, Northwestern. Yeah, those would have been really, really bad. I really didn't want him to land in conference, and I was hoping he'd land to playing for Shrewsbury at Notre Dame, and it didn't happen. I've been keeping up on Morton watch. I don't think he's signed anywhere still. Still hoping that he gets to play close to home for his sake, and if not there, my second option would be him playing for a former Purdue coach. Got 3 options right there. Coach Lutz is signing guys out of the portal pretty quickly. He just got a kid out of Miami, Florida. I don't know if he has a Miami transfer. Gosh, like I said, there's too much. You can't know everything. I know some people are much better at this, retaining and keeping up on things. But in this day and age, it's nearly impossible to say you understand everything and all the moves. Transfer the 247 or no, pardon me, on three has a very good football transfer wire that you can look after if you want to look for what I've been trying to keep up with. Purdue got a kicker out of the portal from Mississippi State, I believe, who's an Aussie punter. Pardon me, not kicker, punter. So Purdue will have an Aussie punter yet again. We'll see how that works. Interesting they went back to that. I think Coach Walters likes that style. I would love to see any Aussie punter. Most of those guys played Aussie rules football, which is a lot like rugby. Any of those guys can be utilized in trick plays, and I would love to see that happen because most of those guys can deal out a blow and take one because they used to play a lot more contact football. They're not like American punters who some of those guys came up as kickers and punters, played soccer, became punters in high school, and then ended up playing in college. But those guys, the Aussie guys, they're usually, number one, a couple years older because their route to get to U.S. college football took them a while. And they're also just put together. So we'll see what happens with that. Ed Albanese asked, any news on Morton? No, I don't think so. And I've been keeping my eye on that. I don't think so. And I would think a lot of teams would want to give him a look. Maybe not from the film. Obviously, last year, he's had better seasons, but he's still a guy that's really, really useful, especially for a team that's looking to get tougher. A team maybe a tier below Duke, but a team like Duke that just needs to inject some mental toughness and some leadership, I think Ethan Morton's a great fit. That's why I thought he'd be a good Notre Dame fit, because of Shrewsbury's battle he's trying to fight as he redefines that roster and what makes them them. So, but that's about it. Appreciate everybody who tuned in live. Appreciate everybody watching on delay or recording as well. I've got a couple people that have interacted with me on a concept or an idea about, should we worry that Purdue doesn't lean on the NIL portal in basketball? And I'm going to talk a little bit about that in the coming week or so. Maybe I'll have another show randomly when my schedule allows it, but stay tuned for that. I have some thoughts on that. Might surprise you. You probably have some thoughts as well. And I'm not going to tell you them. I'm going to keep you hanging. That's the big cliffhanger until next show. Ryan Lewis says, everybody hit your like button. Yeah, please. And if you haven't, subscribe. Why not subscribe? I'm still, I think I told you guys, I previewed a little thing that there might be some good positive changes coming around here. I'm still leaning towards the change. You guys don't know what it is, but Jay and Anish and I specifically have discussed some things. And I think it's nothing but positive. If I go that way, you'll know in the next couple weeks if I decide to do something a little different. The Boiled Sports hasn't done in a little while. So we'll see. Stay tuned for that too. But like I said, we'll have some football, basketball content around here. I don't know if Michael's planning on doing his Boiled Shorts audio again like he did last year. I thought it was awesome. I loved that he did it. I thought that was great content. If you want to see more of that, give him a shout out, The Railroad Tie, or on Twitter, or just comment here and let us know. Let us know, because I think Michael in the summer, he's got a job where he doesn't do anything. That's a joke. See, he's got a hard job. He's a dude. So, he's a hardworking man. Gosh darn it. So, but sound off. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great day. God bless you. Hammer down. Ken, here's some content. You asked for it. Still praying for you, brother. Talk soon. See ya.